One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost 80-71 to the Golden State Warriors in their first game of Las Vegas Summer League action. Yes, there will be reaction podcasts for Summer League because, I mean, it's a sharp drop off. I'm not gonna lie, from going to the finals to Summer League, but we cover everything here. And that includes the Summer League roster, which I gotta say, just off the bat, the amount of talent is questionable. I mean, you know, Summer League, it's not really necessarily about the talent. You know, it's usually just an open tryout, and there's not too much to take away from it. But even just compared to the last couple of years, when you had teams that, you know, the Raptors were fielding guys that had at least one or two, you know, future NBA caliber players on there. Like, you know, last year there was OG, and Chris Boucher played well in that, setting, and then the year before that, you know, you get Pascal and Fred and Jakob Poeltl, which, whew, man, the three of them together were great. You know, in previous years, you got JV, who, I mean, he had one of the best summer leagues I've ever seen out of anybody, actually. I believe he won finals, or not finals MVP, but summer league MVP. And so, you know, the Raptors have traditionally had pretty competitive teams, and, you know, this one, you know, just from the first game, I'm kind of struggling to see the talent. I'm kind of struggling to see the vision for what this team is. But, you know, it's just, you look at it, like, the most intriguing guy on the team is Chris Boucher, who we kind of know what Chris Boucher is from a basketball standpoint. We saw it last season in the G League. You know, his hustle and his athleticism is going to carry him through a lot, and especially when he knocks down a couple of threes, he's going to be an effective player. I mean, you know, he can defend as well. He definitely can block shots, but you know, you kind of know what he is, and you know, it's kind of the same deal. If he continues to stay, you know, really skinny, then he's not going to be able to sort of just function really in the same way as he could in the pros, as compared to in a summer league setting. But I mean, hey, today Chris Boucher was very effective. His hustle, the fact that he got 12 free throw attempts in 32 minutes says a lot about just how active he was in terms of just driving to the basket, how fearless he was in going for offensive rebounds. You know, Boucher had to play a lot of four because the Raptors also had DeJuan Hernandez out there in the starting lineup playing the five. And so, you know, Boucher had to do a lot more ball handling, a lot more play creation. And I thought there was some interesting parts of that game. Like, when you see him take it to the rack and, you know, guys trying to stop him, it's difficult. I mean, it's always difficult when a seven-footer picks up the ball and tries to drive at you. And, you know, there's something there. But, again, Boucher is probably the closest in terms of just, you know, NBA-caliber players. It's in terms of best players on the team, it's probably either him or Jordan Lloyd, who, again, we saw him with the Raptors last season. You know, he had a couple of moments, but ultimately, you know, we're talking about a guy who is a little bit undersized to play point guard, and also the distribution kind of bothers me. Like, I'm not really focused too much on the stats, but when you have two assists and four turnovers as the lead point guard, like, it's bad. And, you know, you get 11 assists overall from the Raptors on the night, in a night where you have 40 minutes of play. That's just, it's kind of not enough. And that's actually one of the things that actually bothers me in Summer League, is that you just, unless you have a quality point guard, it's just, you know, the games get a little hard to watch because it's really up and down, and you're not really running anything, and you're not really getting to see players sort of actually use their talents in an organized setting. And yeah, I just wish the Raptors had a guy like, I mean, the year they had Fred VanVleet on the team for Summer League, I guess it was 2 years in a row, but those years, I mean, the team actually ran well. And, you know, there was a coherent structure, and the players got into places, and VanVleet made sure of that. And, you know, they were able to, you know, have a team that played coherent basketball. And I just don't think there was a lot of that for the Raptors tonight. The most important player, or at least the one that was most of most interest was DeJuan Hernandez, who the Raptors took 59th overall in this year's NBA draft. There was not a lot of tape on Hernandez from his college days because, you know, there were some eligibility issues in terms of, you know, the scandal and whatever. And he just didn't have to, I don't know, he was hurt for a little bit too. So, like, it just, nobody really knew who this guy was. And so the Raptors got a good look at him today. I think there are some things to like. I think it's pretty obvious why he got picked. I mean, he has a good frame, real solid frame. He's built well. He's mobile. You know, he's a 7-footer. And so, you know, from that perspective, yeah, you can see it. But also, the one thing that bothered me, I guess, about his performance today was just the judgment. Like, he took a couple of shots that were just so ill-advised. Like, he would drive to the rim and just someone would be there and he would just be determined to pull up a shot. And I don't know. Maybe he does have better touch, and this was just a day where, you know, he was misfiring. But at the same time, it just doesn't seem like he was able to sort of pick up on the idea of, oh, I need to be doing this in this spot, which is fine. I mean, that's what education is for. Like, you know, you're going to get put into the G League system. You're going to be playing a different system than you were in basketball, in college, and basketball in high school. And so it takes process. It's a whole process to learn that. And so, you know, we'll see what the G League does for DeJuan Hernandez. But at least in game one, it didn't really fully see, you know, I don't know. I didn't really see the standout skill just yet. Again, it's one game. And I'm not judging anybody on one game. But, you know, at least in game one, that standout skill hasn't really been shown. Beyond the fact that, yeah, he is big and he moves well. And that's decent. I mean, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. That was all right. But yeah, I mean, it is a little bit awkward too because he's playing center and then Boucher has to play power forward. And Boucher is skilled enough to sort of go out there and sort of make plays happen, even though he's not really a power forward. But I'm curious to see what else there is in Hernandez's game because at least in game one, it just seemed like he was forcing up a lot of shots and, you know, he bricked the corner three as well. So we'll see what's there with the 59th pick. In terms of other guys of note, Malcolm Miller. He's been with the Raptors a couple years now in terms of the 905 program, and he started out really well. He, like, hit a 30-foot pull-up three, and I'm like, whoa. And he had a chase-down block right after that and was like, all right. So, you know, Malcolm's got some things to show us in terms of the 3-and-D growth as a player. And the rest of the game, he was misfiring like crazy. And, you know, I don't want to put it on him too much because these were open looks, and I think ultimately he's a decent enough shooter to convert more than 1 of 6 from three. Having said that, though, like, you know, there were some really, really open looks and it just weren't going down for him. So maybe it was a bad night from that perspective, but I kind of actually like him when Miller is able to put on the deck just a little bit. Like, he dropped two shooting fouls that way. But it just ultimately seems like he doesn't really do too much. He kind of just floats 3-point on a 3-point line. There's one play where I think it was either a 2-on fast break, but, instead of just, you know, being the trailer on the play or going to the rim or whatever, he just decided to fade out to the 3-point line, even though there's only one defender there. And it's just, it's a weird judgment, you know? It's a weird judgment. But yeah, I mean, you know, we know what Malcolm Miller is. He's going to shoot better than this on separate nights. Some nights he's not going to shoot better than this, but he's pretty limited to sketch and shoot stuff. And, you know, he's got decent size. I really wouldn't really characterize him as a great defender, but you know, has at least enough length to sort of bother some players. I don't know. It's just like I'm reaching there. In terms of the Canadian on the roster, aside from Boucher, there's also Lindell Wigginton, who, I mean, to me, it looked like he was a little undersized. I liked his quickness. I liked his bravery. I mean, he went up for two very ambitious dunks and got turned away both times. I thought he was fouled both times, but it was, you know, he only one of those were called. But yeah, I mean, he's all right. I thought defensively he sort of gave a great effort. You know, his handle, it seemed like the Warriors were really intent on trying to get him to pick up his dribble and stuff and sort of test his ability to bring the ball off half court. And there's a couple of times where I was pretty shaky of whether or not he was going to do it. But the only only, I guess, issue I had with Wigginton was sort of just, like, the play creation. Like, he would drive inside and try to finish, and, like, he just looked really small. I mean, he's, like, 6'1". He does have crazy hops, but it seems like he needs 2 feet to, you know, sort of be on the launching pad. Like, he's not really just, like, an explosive 6'1" in the sense that, you know, he can jump off either leg or whatever. Like, he seems to be, he does have hops, like, guaranteed he has hops, but, you know, it seems like he needs to jump off 2 feet, and it's just not as effective when he's driving, and the hops don't really come into play as much, and so it's ultimately just a 6'1" guy driving. But, you know, I'm interested to see what's there. I thought, you know, I thought his attitude throughout the game was good, and we'll see if the basketball follows. But aside from that, I thought, you know, Adonis Thomas, who I've never heard of coming into this game. I'm serious. I feel bad about saying that, but it is the nature of this game. In Summer League, you just get random dudes. I thought he was pretty impressive in the fourth quarter. He really stepped up, made a couple of plays here and there, knocked down a three, came down, sort of worked the pick and roll into a pull-up long two. And, you know, there's just something calm about his game. I think I like the fact that, you know, he's a little bit more solidly built than the Raptors' other guards, so he can actually withstand some contact and get a shot off. We'll see what happens there. And Corey Walden, who was the starting shooting guard. You know, it's funny. He looks like he has a very strange shot that wouldn't go in because his elbow is sort of jutting out as he shoots it. But, you know, he got two of those to go. And I thought defensively he was very pesky. You know, he showed pretty good activity there. And so maybe there's something there. But, again, ultimately we're talking about dudes that, you know, most people, aside from Blake, have never really heard about. So, that was day one of Summer League for the Raptors. Obviously everyone was very focused on the past events throughout the day. I mean, you got Kawhi leaving for the Clippers, and so that was a major talking point on the broadcast. Nick Nurse got interviewed at one point. It was kind of awkward, I'm not gonna lie. You know, shout out Cassie Hubbard, but like, it just, I don't know. I don't really see what you were gonna get out of, Nick in terms of in that situation. But Nick also told Nick Friedel of ESPN separately that, you know, Kawhi had texted him and said, you know, I'm going home. And, you know, Nick Nurse doesn't really blame him for that. I guess that's one way to look at it. But, I mean, Nick was there. Pascal was there sitting alongside Fred courtside. You know, that reminded me a lot of how DeMar used to always sit courtside. And DeMar's still going to Summer League. He was there in previous days. But yeah, you know, those two guys, I think, especially with Pascal and Fred, like, you know, they're living testaments to the idea that you can get something out of Summer League. Like, we saw the development of Pascal Siakam in Summer League well before we saw it play out in the big league stage. And we saw, especially with Fred, I mean, he went into Summer League and he won a roster spot. Like, and you know what I mean? Like, he won a spot on the training camp roster, and then he won a spot on the roster, and then he eventually worked his way up to the point where he gets the finals MVP vote. So these guys are incredible success stories, and you know, those guys sitting courtside, it's powerful. It has to be powerful for the guys playing the game, because those guys are living testaments to the idea that if you work hard enough and if you are talented enough and you show out on this stage, like, there is a possibility people are actually watching this thing. So in terms of your three stars, first star, I got to go to Chris Boucher, 21 points, 13 rebounds, a block, 6 of 14 shooting, 2 of 7 from deep. I mean, there was a couple of ill-advised shots, as there always are with Boucher. He seems to have supreme confidence on that little trebuchet three-point shot of his, but I liked his activity, and quite honestly, he was the best Raptor tonight, and it wasn't that close. Second star, I'm giving that to, I mean, I don't really know. Like, I guess Corey Walden. I liked his two-way play. He's a bit small to be shooting guard, and I'm not really fully sure and confident in that jumper. I need to see it go in a couple more times because it does look kind of funky, but all right. He can get the second star. 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 of 3 shooting from deep. And then third star, that's tough. I'll give it to Adonis Thomas. 8 points. 3 assists, 3 turnovers. I didn't really notice the turnovers, but you know, Thomas had a composed stretch in the fourth quarter. But honestly, it just wasn't a very well played game. And again, I just don't think there's that much at least from what we saw in game one, there just wasn't that much talent to be paying attention to in the summer league. You know, there are some teams, there are some years where you have a lot of great talent and summer league's really fun to watch. And this is one of those years where, kind of like last year, where there's not that much to look out for. But, I mean, you need something to be entertained throughout the summer. So that's what summer league is there for. So thanks everyone for listening. In terms of summer league coverage, so we're going to have 10 things on summer league after each game, which it is ambitious and it sometimes it's hard to do, but I'm going to do my best to put it out there. So you can look for that tomorrow morning on Yahoo Sports Canada. And there will be podcasts. Hopefully the games won't always be super late at night, like starting at midnight. So I don't have to go solo, but you know, I'll bring on some guests and we'll break down some summer league coverage. But yeah, in terms of as a distraction from Kawhi, this wasn't very effective, but it's something at least. So check back after the next game. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.